What's up, everybody? This is Chad with the band Hemlock, and you're listening to Underground Radio.
Nobody knows what a killer looks like!
Welcome to the Underground Radio Show. My name's Alan Smith, and I am joined by Chad Smith from the band Hemlock. Yeah. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing awesome, my Smith brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we've got a show with you guys coming up. How cool is that? Return of Hemlock.
We're super stoked.
Yeah. I should have pulled up the flyer before this. That would have been very smart of me. But
I have mine right here.
Hey,
it's all good.
There you go.
No, we had a blast last time we came out. Our friends in At My Worst actually were the ones that told us about the Underground in the first place. So we said, yeah, let's give it a shot. And I think it was like a Sunday or a Monday last time. And it was awesome. We had a great turnout. So I told Jason and you guys there, you know, I was like, we're going to come back next time. And on a Friday or a Saturday or something like that, we got to come back next year. So it's awesome that we're coming back. This time it's going to be Saturday, April 27th, which is only a couple weeks away. So mark it on your calendars and tell your friends, Saturday, April 27th at the Park Hills Underground, which is at 104 Rinky Street. Did I pronounce Rinky right?
You did.
Oh, yes. Man, I should be an announcer. In Park Hills, Missouri, it's going to be Hemlock, At My Worst, Frago, and Intrusive Minds. It's an awesome lineup. Saturday night, all ages. $15 in advance, so if you want to get your ticket now, get one now, or $20 at the door. It's still a good deal for such an awesome lineup. So 6 p.m., Saturday, April 27th at the Park Hills Underground. How was that?
That was great. Yeah, so I know the last time we had you guys here, you were on your Dirty 30 tour, 30-year anniversary.
Yeah.
But that was just really at the start of it. How did the rest of that tour go?
Oh, it was awesome. We just, I told the guys, and I was like, you know, it's the 30-year anniversary. Let's go as crazy as we can and just play everywhere, because there's some places that you frequent more than others, you know, depending on the tour route or whatever. We hadn't been out to the East Coast in almost 10 years, and it had been a while, and we had just re-upped Florida again and did some awesome stuff. So, and I also booked the tours, so I was like, all right, we're going to do a huge Southeast loop first. So that was when we came through and hit you guys, and we played up in Quincy, and then we worked our way through Tennessee and down and around and went down to Florida, came across the South and through New Orleans and Texas. It was awesome. And also I was trying to be smart and strategic about booking where the weather is good, because I also am the bus driver. Me and my wife share bus driving duties. None of the other guys drive, but we have a big old 40-foot bus, and I don't like driving through blizzards. So I'm like, let's go where it's nice. So it was like, I think we started at the very end of February, and it was freezing cold in the Midwest up in Iowa. So we went south. Then we went more south and more south, and within 5 days, we were over into South Carolina and then down into Florida, where it was like 70 degrees. So we went from 19 degrees to 70 degrees in like 4 or 5 days, and it was just perfect. We sailed along and rocking shows through New Orleans and all the way across and then back up. And then went home for about a month and did a northeast and a southwest loop. So that was a long one. That was awesome. I think we did all the way from Seattle to San Diego. We played in Las Vegas. I mean, we went all over the place. And then we went home for another couple weeks. And then we did the Northeast loop and went out to New York and up into Chicago and Cleveland and all over out that way. We played at the Hard Rock in Pittsburgh. It was awesome. So, and then after that, came home for a month, and then we flew overseas and went to Europe and played over there for 5 weeks, for a month and a half. We went over to Europe and England, and it was amazing. So all said and done, 132 shows just last year.
That's insane.
It was awesome. We went everywhere. It was cool.
So I'm curious, how does the experience touring in Europe differ from touring here in the U.S.?
I love both of them equally, but they do have differences for sure, because the borders over there and the countries are similar in sizes of states. And I know sometimes people, especially if it's a bigger show or whatever, they'll drive, especially if they're playing, if they're from Park Hills, they'll drive to St. Louis. Or if it's a real big show, you might even go to Kansas City if it's like a Slayer show or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But over there in Europe, it's borders. So if you're playing like in Germany and then you drive 40 minutes across the border and you're in the Czech Republic, the scene doesn't really cross over as much. So you have different markets that are a lot closer. So honestly, it's a little easier to tour because things are a little more compact and closer. And for us, we've been over there 6 times, but every time I'm like, this is awesome. It's like winning the lottery. We got to go see as many places and go. We also try to see as much sightseeing when we go on tours. So all the history, I mean, we went to Stonehenge. We saw castles. We saw old cathedrals. We saw cemeteries that, you know, are from like 5 or 6 AD. And you're like, what the hell? That's a long time ago. And then we went to the Bone Church in the Czech Republic where the inside is decorated with human bones. That's crazy. But the shows are awesome. And it seems like metal is also a little more accepted over there, even though there are diehards here in the States. And because we've continually toured and toured and toured and grinded, we have our diehard hemlockers, you know. But if somebody, let's just say, for instance, if somebody like a bigger band, you know, like Machine Head, we love those guys. We've toured with them a little bit here and there. They do shows in the States, and it depends which city it is, but let's just say an average middle-sized city, so not like New York or Vegas or LA or whatever, but if they do a regular show, they might get 500 or 600 people. You know, it depends on how it's promoted and what night of the week it is. But then over in Europe, they might get 2,000 or 3,000 people for the same night, just in a different country, you know, and they support the music over there and the metal a lot more as far as for the metal. And I think my own theory is because they know they're not going to see you next week, or they know they're not going to see you next month because you've come all the way halfway around the world, and they just are more open about the loud and rowdy stuff. But on the opposite side of it, here in the States, you also can connect with your fans more because they're the diehards and in the underground, and it's not as commercialized for metal, you know. I mean, even when we toured with Slayer here in the United States, it was back in like 03 and 05. We did 2 different tours with them. And there was some shows when we were playing with Slayer, and there was like 1,500 to 2,000 people. And it was awesome still. And then we did a couple shows that were 3,000 to 4,000, maybe even 5,000. But if Slayer plays in Europe, you're talking 10, 20,000 people. You know, it's just a difference in what kind of music is accepted where and everything. But I love traveling everywhere because we make friends as we go, because we also are on a lot smaller scale than Slayer, of course. So we have free time and the means to hang out and talk to the fans and become friends. So it's almost like a family reunion when you go on tour. You're like, oh man, I haven't seen that guy in a year and a half. Let's go say what's up, you know. Or sometimes people nowadays, because we've been doing it for so long, they'll come to the show and they're like, I brought my 15-year-old kid to the show because I used to see you when I was 15. I'm like, oh, man, we've been doing this a long time. But it's awesome because there's a whole new generation of metalheads that are starting to come to our shows, too, which is rad.
And touring over there in Europe, is there a bit of a, like a language barrier? Like,
there definitely is, but it's also kind of fun to try to communicate because they're still there. And it depends which country you're in, too, because sure, a lot of people in Germany still speak English. But when you get over further into Eastern Germany, not as much. And then when you get over into the Czech, not as much. And if you go over even further east, you know, it's not as much. But the younger generations, it seems like they know more English. But I always try to ask the locals, first thing when we get there, how to pronounce the city, which sometimes it's really, really crazy and difficult, especially in the Czech Republic. And also how to say thank you in their language, and also how to say jump, because I always love to try and get the audience to jump, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a town in the Czech Republic that we love and that we rocked in. So like Prague, of course, it's easier, you know, Prague. And the traditional way how they have it spelled over there is Praha. But then there's a town south of Prague. And it took me 2 weeks when we were on tour with our friends in the band Ectomorph of asking them how to pronounce this town, which seems crazy to 2 weeks how to pronounce this town, but I couldn't get it because it's spelled C-E-S-K-E, and then the second word is B-U-D-E-J-O-V-I-C-E. So I'm like, Seske Budjovice. And they're laughing, you know. And then I ask other people at the shows, and they're like, no, not even close. And I'm like, all right, how do you say it in Czech? Because I want to make sure to pay my respects and thank the crowd to show them that I'm making an effort, how to pronounce their city, how to say thank you, and all that. So the town is pronounced Ceske Budějovice.
Never so would have gotten that.
I had to write it down phonetically. So instead of Ceske, it was Cheska. And I was like, all right, I got to write C-H-E-S-S like chess, and then K-A, Cheska, and then Budjovica. And I had V-E-E-T-S-A, or I mean Z-A, so that way I would pronounce it. And then, of course, when you're yelling it on stage, it's a little more forgiving, too, because you're like, thank you, Cheska Budjovica. But it's just funny, because then you see people smile and connect, and then I even kind of was telling my brother, he's like, yeah, it's kind of hard. Even when you go to like a restaurant, and you're trying to order something simple like potatoes. There was one time in Hungary when we were on tour, and the guy behind the counter had no idea what we were saying. So we had to pull out our phone and pull up a picture of a potato, because we were even trying to say kartoffel or whatever, you know, like how in different countries, and he didn't even understand that, and like potatoes. And so finally we pulled up a picture and his eyes lit up. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And we got, you know, it's just funny stuff like that. And my brother was like, and my brother's our drummer, he was like, man, it's just hard, you know, it's crazy with all the language barrier. And I said, yep, but music is the international language. And he just kind of smiled, and we all were laughing, you know. We're like, it is, it's crazy how that playing in a band, starting in our mom's garage, you know, in Henderson, Nevada, in Las Vegas, Nevada, that starting these many years ago, that we could use this music to connect with people halfway around the world. And that, you know, you make friends and you see people and they're smiling and they're headbanging and they're having a great time. So it's just cool, because to answer your question, the music is what connects everybody. Even if they don't know English, or if they only know parts or pieces, they still are screaming along and singing along to the parts. And you're like, this is so rad. We're in Budapest, Hungary, and people are screaming along. Or we're in Glendidno, Wales, you know, and they're just going apeshit. It's awesome. And so everywhere you go, it's just fun, because the people that come out are there to party and have a good time. And we try to give everything we've got, try to make everybody feel welcome and give them all the energy we can. And it goes, you know, they accept it and they give it back, and the audience just starts going crazy and have a blast. So I'm rambling. I mean, I could talk about music and touring. We've been going since I was 15 years old. We started Hemlock 31 years ago. I'm 46 now, but my brain still thinks I'm like 20 or 22. I'm like, all right, let's go rock and roll. Come on, let's go. And it's just rad to be able to be on a scale to where we can go to these places and see these things and meet these people, but also be able to connect and hang out at, you know, in the audience or over by merch and take photos and tell them thank you and, you know, keep in touch. So we definitely still enjoy every minute of it.
Well, okay, so let's kind of pivot back to the U.S., I guess, because that's where you're going to be first. You're kicking off the Bleed the Dream Tour the previous night. That's, what, Friday the 26th up in Kansas City. I understand that's the name of one of your albums. Are you guys going to be playing it in full?
Bleed the Dream. We actually start in St. Joseph, Missouri, which is about an hour north of Kansas City.
Okay.
But it's cool, because the same thing like I was saying, people in the Midwest actually do support a little bit more also, because they'll drive from Kansas City up to the show. Whereas if you're in Vegas, sometimes you'll give somebody a flyer, they're like, oh, that's all the way across town. You're like, it's like 30 minutes, just jump on the freeway and come over. And then they wind up coming anyways, but because traffic is so bad, or Los Angeles especially with the bad traffic, sometimes it deters people from going to shows. And we're like, we only do one show a year in each town. So come on out, this is the chance. So that's another thing with just connecting and handing out flyers and promoting with people, that, you know, that it sticks more than just seeing a post online or something like that. You know, we make friends everywhere we go. But so yeah, we do St. Joseph, Missouri on the 26th, and then we're coming over to Park Hills on Saturday, April 27th. Kind of like a little warm-up weekend of shows, because we haven't done anything since Thanksgiving, just because we went so hard last year. So dust it off, get the gear cranking, and just have a great time in Missouri starting off the year. So it's not only the start of the tour, it's actually the start of shows for this year.
Okay.
And we're going to play as many as we can, depending on time-wise. We do have ideas to play Bleed the Dream in its entirety, but it just depends on which show. So we'll probably do at least 8 or 9 songs off of it. But who knows, if we have enough time, maybe we will play the whole album front to back. And then, of course, we have to add other songs from other albums, like sure. Revolution and, you know, all the classics that are The Only Enemy, and a couple of the new jams like Doomsday and Carmageddon. But we got from being around so long, we have so many songs that I'm like, how do you even pick and write a set list? You know?
Well, so you could
my
be
brother
like a,
does it every night. Well, I tell my brother, I'm like, you write the set list and I'll just play what's on there. But then we do try to also ask fans, you know. So I actually had somebody from Park Hills email me already asking if we would play Pigeonholed, the song,
okay,
and My Eyes Itch. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to remind me the day of the show because I headbang a bunch. But it's funny and cool that you bring it up because I'm already getting requests for the Park Hills show. And
awesome.
My Eyes Itch is on Bleed the Dream, so of course we're going to bust that one out probably every night because that's a classic and a jam that a lot of people know. And we'll just go. I mean, the main thing's just going and having a good time and vibing out for sure.
So kind of, you know, in the weeks leading up to a tour, what's the preparation like for you guys?
We actually did so many shows last year that we don't even need to rehearse this time just
okay,
because everything's still, I mean, we did so many shows. It was like, you know, muscle memory to where you just go through the motions and do it all and it comes natural. So then that way you can play your part without even thinking really about it. But then you can focus on just jamming and rocking out as hard as you can and headbanging and watching the crowd and interacting with the crowd because it just, you play so much. It's just, it's cool that it comes natural and flows out. So we don't, I mean, we individually at home, we actually, you know, we run through the set list, we pick a set list and everybody runs through once or twice on their own. But then when we get together, it's just natural and it just comes right out. And then that way we can work on. So one of the things I try to do is actually work on stamina. So I actually start, I'm trying to always be as healthy as I can, of course, because I've lost a bunch of weight in the last 10 years. But I go on more jogs and more runs and working on just physical fitness because our shows are so high energy. People have teased before. They're like, it's like Hemlock aerobics or, you know, just crazy, the calisthenics and just all of it. So before a tour, I work on a ton of stamina and stretching and just all of that, because if you haven't headbanged and jumped and all that in the last 4 months, you kind of need to re-loosen all the limbs and get ready to go. So I'd say more physical preparation than actual rehearsals. Just, and then of course you got to get all your stuff at home in order and make sure that everything's situated and taken care of and all that. And then all the basics, like making sure that you got an oil change on the bus and that all the tires are good, because you don't want to go out and risk, you know, blowing a tire or having a bus problem, which does happen sometimes. But the more you prepare on that stuff, then the better chances you have of not having to miss a show or break down or any of that, because we want to make sure to get to all the shows.
Well, we will see you here at Park Hills Underground. It's Hemlock on the Bleed the Dream Tour, along with At My Worst, Frago, and Intrusive Minds, Saturday, April 27th, right here at Park Hills Underground. You can get tickets now on our Facebook page. And I guess one thing before I let you go, you know, you've been touring a lot, but will there be any new Hemlock music coming out soon?
We're definitely working on parts and pieces. But last year with touring as much as we did, we didn't actually have any writing sessions together. So I always tell everybody, I'm like, just write riffs. I'll work on lyrics. I'll write some riffs and just log them down or record them or write them down or whatever you got to do, or even film yourself humming a riff. Because people ask sometimes, like, how do you come up with a song? I said, everyone's different. I said, sometimes I'll hear a line or I'll think of a phrase, like, oh, that'd be a cool hook for a chorus. So then I build the song around that one line. Or there's sometimes where I have a topic or a subject and I'm like, all right, I want to try to do something like that. And then you pick the title out later out of some of the lyrics you come up with. So there's times where it's 2 a.m. after a show and I'm just cruising down the road. Everybody else is sleeping in their bunks and I'm just driving at nighttime and you have nothing but your thoughts, you know, and you're just going, and I'll start kind of just humming a little riff, you know, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's going to be cool. And or I'll come up with a line and I try to, you know, say it to myself or come up with kind of a pattern and do it like 15, 20 times because I can't write it down while I'm driving. So then when I pull over at the gas station, I'll either film myself or I'll write it down real quick, just, you know, like a boom, 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 cha, 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 boom, 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 cha, or whatever, you know, just trying to come up with, to make sure you don't lose your inspiration. So it comes at all times of the day. There's times where you could wake up from a sleep, you're like, oh, I got to write that down. Or there's times where you're watching a movie and you hear a cool phrase, you're like, oh, that'd be a cool theme for a song or whatever. So we are always constantly writing. I've got probably, I'd say 5 or 6 different songs in the works, but we haven't been able to tour quite enough yet on the last two albums we released, because part of it was during the pandemic and nobody was allowed to tour. So we're still touring on those a lot. And then the fact that this is the 20-year anniversary of Bleed the Dream, we're like, well, that's pretty cool that it's the 20-year celebration of that album, because that album is the one where a lot of people, we started touring a lot more consistent, and that's the one where we did the Jägermeister tour with Slayer, and we did the Jägermeister tour with Slipknot and Fear Factory, and we were just out more. So a lot of people, that was their first introduction to Hemlock. So we thought it was cool to celebrate the Bleed the Dream by actually doing a Bleed the Dream tour and playing as many songs off there and just having a good time. So yes, new music, not sure when we're going to record. I'm hoping, if we, depending on schedule and with everybody, I'm hoping that we actually record next winter so it can come out by next spring or next summer. But that's all hypothetical right now. You're the first person that I've actually even told about all this, except me telling the other guys to start saving their riffs and saving their parts. Then we get together and kind of glue them all together like a puzzle and make Hemlock songs.
Yeah. Well, hey, you heard it here first, people. New Hemlock music next year. Well, it's been great talking to you once again. You'll be here on April 27th with At My Worst, Frago, and Intrusive Minds at Park Hills Underground. You got anything else for us?
I just want to tell you thank you for having us back. It's going to be awesome. We're super excited to rock the underground. And loading is always fun because you go down that big ramp, so I'm glad you don't have to carry stuff up the stairs. So we're excited about coming back.
Yeah, going up the ramp at the end of the night is always harder, though.
Yeah, especially because it's going to be our second night on tour, so we'll probably all be stiff. And
yeah,
but it's kind of like actually training for a sport, to where by day four or five you start feeling better and your neck's not as sore from headbanging. So yeah, that's part of it too, is the consistency.
You know, the last time you guys were here, I think I walked in the green room and you were doing yoga. So
yeah. Every day I try to keep my back in tip-top shape that I can, because the older we get, you know, you got to take care of yourself more and more. But my brain still thinks I'm 20, so I'm like, all right, I got to be able to give an A-plus show. I want to rock as hard as we can, but I'm 46 now, so I got to do my yoga. I got to drink a bunch of water. I got to do what I can, you know. And as old-fashioned as it sounds, I always tell my guys in the band, too, because I'm also like the tour manager and everything. I'm like, make sure that you guys get good sleep. Make sure that you do your stretches. Take your vitamins. Do what you got to do. So a lot of the time, too, when we're on tour, we stop at Planet Fitness. So that way you can get showered and all that. We're all members of Planet Fitness. But then if we have time, we're like sneaking a 20 or 30-minute workout real quick just to try and keep your muscles moving and ready to rock. So I'm excited. Bring everybody you can. All you people listening, bring your friends, bring your grandparents, bring everybody, because Hemlock is always about a fun time. We bring positivity, even though it's heavy metal and it's loud and rowdy. We like to have people smiling and headbanging.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you for your time today, and this is going to wrap up this episode of Underground Radio with Chad Smith from Hemlock.
Thank you, Alan. Talk to you soon.